talk about being hassled. I was in a battle today with these guys from Reddit. I mean, Q's been banned at Reddit, but not the anti-Q Q forum, which is, it's just so amazing. There's thousands of people. There's a lot of people now that feel that there's even, that there's nothing being done, and in the future, you can't trust these people. There'll be no accountability. There's no single-tier justice system. We're still living under the king and queen of England, that they get an exemption, and all the peasants are the ones held accountable. You know, I tell people we left England and established the United States to have a single rule of law, and the royals and the ruling class are not exempt from laws. So you have to understand, a lot of us feel this did not start in 2015 or 2016 with the elevator. That this plan to take back this country started before that, and there's even things in place after 2024. That this is all part of a whole program to make it simple, we call it the Great Awakening, because there's a lot of aspects besides political corruption ending, needless wars ending. There's going to be truth about pharma. There's going to be truth about space. There's going to be truth about health and medicine. A lot of this is going to be coming to light, and this is what we're terming the Great Awakening.
Most of my listeners have heard of the amazing antioxidant and immunity building benefits of C60. But what you may not know is how amazing black seed oil is as a carrier for C60. Black seed oil has been called the miracle herb by the National Health Institute because of all the health benefits, such as anti-inflammatory, anti-diabetic, and so much more. That is why I personally take the ultra pure 99.99% C60 in black seed oil. It's now available in gel caps, so no more slurping down that disgusting oil. Listeners can get Live Longer Labs' patented ultra-pure, no-solvent C60 at exclusive discounted prices now at my shop. Go to sarahwestell.com under shop and learn more. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Roy Davis, sometimes people call him Captain Roy Davis, coming to the program. He is one of the big Q followers. He writes about Q all the time. And with Q coming back into the scene this past week, and even made a drop today, and we're going to talk about that. He's going to talk about what Q, what this whole movement is, and his new book. He has a new book. It's called, I gotta look at it, White Hats, Swamp Creatures, and QAnon, a Who's Who of Spygate. And he also was part of the Q Great Awakening. I did a chapter in that book with Jim Rothstein, Jimmy Boots, about the whole blackmail system. I really wanted to get that information out there, and I thought it was the best way to, because nobody else would cover it, and it's being censored, and I just wanted to get it out there. And it was great, because these books reached number one on Amazon. I guess there's 10 different sections now that the Great Awakening categories that it's reached number one on Amazon. So it's getting out there, which is so great. And then the Epstein stuff came out and said, yeah, blackmail is pretty common. And now Epstein, what people don't realize is Epstein is just one of many. And he's not the, we take Epstein down and the whole thing goes down. We can't be confused by that. He's an example of how they work this. You take Epstein down, there's all sorts of them. We got to take the whole corrupt network down in order to clean up our country. And this is what it's all about. And Roy Davis is going to talk about that, the Great Awakening. And even if you don't believe it, because people make fun of it and whatever, it's about educating people on what's really going on and about the corruption in our country. And how else are we going to get this out there? Because there's so much censorship. And so that's why I joined the project with the first one. I don't know about all the different information. I can't vet everything because I just don't know. But I sure can vet what I did and the people that I work with. And it was the best way to get the information out there. And that's why I wanted to bring Roy Davis on, is because he has a new one out there, new book out there that is really doing well. And I think people need to read this and get acquainted with what Q is saying. There's a lot of information that's good, and people will learn a lot through this process. And before I get into this interview, I want to talk about my shop. You know, you see some of the ads that are coming up, but I have good Christmas stuff. There's coupons that are up there that are new, and I have products that are coming up over the next couple weeks before Thanksgiving. There's going to be a bunch of new products coming up that are affordable as good Christmas presents. And there's coupon codes that'll just be for, you know, for the next 2 months as well. So take a look at that. It helps it really helps my channel stay afloat and the independent journalism that I do. And I also want to tell you that Captain Roy stays after, Roy Davis stays after for my patrons. He talks about why he was banned for life off YouTube. He doesn't even do videos. And he's going to talk about what got him banned, which was almost nothing. And you'll hear about it. And then some of the other work that he's doing. That will be for my patrons. And you can get that at patreon.com, Sarah Westall. So let's get into the interview now with Roy Davis. Hi, Roy. Welcome to the program.
Okay, Sarah. My pleasure to be with you and your fine audience.
Well, you know, you have kind of emerged as one of the leaders in this whole Q movement. And I know you don't like to think that there's any leaders, everybody's involved, but you are one of the ones that are the most knowledgeable about the movement from the time it started until, you know, present day. What got you so engaged in, you know, Q and believing that it's the real deal?
Well, I was just kind of hanging around in the truth movement. I'm retired from the travel industry, so I have some free time on my hands. I live here in Florida on my boat, and I've always been just kind of a JFK person interested in, you know, the whole history of Dallas and so forth. And so I've always been drawn towards alternative media. I had followed before Q, Doug Hagman, the Hagman Report, Alex Jones, Lionel Nation. These are some of the people that I would just listen to. You know, even before we knew how bad the fake news was, it was just, those were my programs. And I remember a program in December of 17, and I was listening to Doug Hagman, and he had Lionel on the show to talk about Q. And I vaguely remember a little bit about it, but something on the boards a year before with FBI and on. I do remember it in 2016, a little bit on the Chan boards about FBI and on, but I wasn't into it too much. But I do remember that because I always kept an eye on the Clintons as well as anything to do with JFK's murder. And that goes back to when I was in the travel industry. I was explaining this to Rick from Blessed to Teach. I was talking to Rick last 2 weeks ago, and I hadn't even realized it, but I had really gotten upset with the Clintons in 92 when Bill came to office, because the first thing, and a lot of people forget this, one of the first scandals of the Clintons, even before Whitewater came up, was the Travelgate. And what the Clintons did was fire these longtime people. And in fact, being in the travel industry, they were kind of our heroes, that they always took care of all the presidential trips and so forth. These were our big travel agents, you know, and they got rid of these longtime nonpartisan people and brought in all their hacks from Arkansas that didn't know a thing about it, and started in the industry all this graft and corruption. I mean, seriously. So I've always had just, you know, a little bit of an eye on the Clintons. But to answer your question, Lionel and Doug hammered it out in early December 17th. It caught my interest. And what really happened with people that follow the Patriot Soapbox, Pamphlet Anon and his wife Radix, but Pamphlet was on the boards. It was 8chan then in December. And he was asking for anybody that wanted to write stories to go ahead onto this new sub at Reddit. Now, I really had never, to this day, I've never joined Facebook, Twitter. My first social media account in my life, my kids still tease me about this, is Reddit, and starting to post about Q. So I began in January. I went and opened up an account and started posting stories. I knew a little bit about No Name from the Bahamas. My little brother was engaged to Lane Keating. And people will remember Charles Keating from the Keating Five. I mean, I purposely witnessed No Name in the Bahamas getting payoffs at the Keating compound. It was next door to where our place was. So I started writing these stories. And Cyril Brain was another person that started at the same time I did on the Calm Before the Storm board. That was our first board at Reddit. So we were just some of the writers. People now called us all the Bakers. But that's how I just started writing and really got a little bit kind of pissed off when all of our stuff was erased the first time and deleted in March, April of 18. And then we developed the new board, the Great Awakening board at Reddit. And really when that was deleted last September, that was the nucleus of developing these books, Sarah. And that's where we got in touch with each other and everybody else, because really some of us, we're really mad we didn't have a forum. We didn't have any other outlets to do our stories, particularly Cyril Brain and myself. we were just outraged at this ban. Not only did they ban our stories, they went into our personal accounts and deleted all of our stories. I gave a presentation at the 9/11, the D.C. rally, at the Washington Monument, at my speech, and I reminded everybody, I said, as a writer and an author, I said, this is an equivalent of breaking into Stephen King's house and burning his manuscripts. It's one thing to say you can't post here, but they went in and deleted all the history of our stories. I mean, luckily, we had it all on backup. And this was another thing. There was a lot of writers we knew that were maybe, you know, better than us, as good as Cerebrain, that they didn't have backups. I asked them to be in the books after all this stuff was deleted, and they didn't have backups. So one of the things was, you know, a couple of us writers, we got in the book because we had backups. I mean, seriously, they deleted all of our stuff, and we just couldn't recreate, you know, years of material. And
well, let me ask you, there are a lot of people that have worked hard to make Q look like a joke, or make Q look like a spoof or another psyop or whatever. The people on Fortran and the people on Reddit, they are hardcore researchers. Some of them are goofballs. We all have to admit that. But so yes. How did you go about, you know, qualifying, vetting Q as something that's real instead of just another psyop that's being played on you? Because, you know, frankly, people just don't know what to think of it. And I was just, hold on one second. I was watching a thing by somebody who purposely was trying to discredit it, and they were laughing. They got some goofballs on there, and maybe some legit, but a couple that would, people that would say some goofy things, and then they'd play the music to make them sound like they're goofball, and then they have an audience in the background laughing. I mean, so you get these people. So how are you getting around that, and how are you vetting them?
Well, it's really because it's such an open forum, and we're really welcoming everybody to see what's going on. One of the things I think has changed there, in the beginning, it was more of a recruitment type of a deal because there wasn't many people looking into it. It was more of a thing where we had to kind of build as what I'm wearing and what General Flynn mentions as far as a digital army. So in the beginning, we vetted things. You know, people point to the Tippy Top and the big rabbit at the Easter egg roll at the White House. You know, that was said. I mean, there's no question that was said, that we want the President Trump to mention Tippy Top. And, you know, within a week that it was said on TV with the 8-foot white rabbit next to him, in case you missed it. We had these little things in the beginning. I mean, it was just the other day, there was this what we call a zero delta, where Q tweets, or, you know, sends out a drop. President Trump sends out one of his tweets, and Q caps it and just says, did you just see, I don't come after the president comes after me. You know, these are the types that we just call these Q proofs. The people have been doing this for a while. We really don't pay attention to the current ones because we've already 2 years ago had enough proofs to get us going, if that makes sense. The ones that come out today is all for the new people, and they throw these things out, different types of things where they'll say something, somebody will draw a Q. You know what I mean? It's small things. If it was all written out, I tell people, remind people, if it was already written out in a manual, it'd be like, you know, the Easter egg, the Santa Claus surprise. It takes a little bit of the surprise out of the whole ordeal. You've already read the end of the book before you start the beginning. So, you know, there's a lot of that play in there. And we have to remember that I think part of this is that we're at this point, we're not trying to recruit anybody. We're not trying to convince anybody of the validity of Q. We're just saying we stumbled onto this. We're presenting as best we can this interpretation. And it's just sort of one other thing you can follow. You know what I mean? If you don't have time to follow it, just ignore us. You know, we're not looking for fights. We're happy with the success of the books. These were just basically as a response to being shadow banned and censored that we started putting these books out into print. But it's really just showing the public what we found, and we're doing this as our patriotic duty. I have other things to do than all day long. You talk about being hassled. I was in a battle today with these guys from Reddit. I mean, Q's been banned at Reddit, but not the anti-Q Q forum, which is just so amazing. There's thousands of people, and I rarely get involved with them, but they were kind of quoting a friend of mine. Oh, well, Jules from the book. Poor Jules. They were picking on Jules, and they kind of got me into the fight with her. And I'm saying, well, you know, that's something she wrote. And I'm, you know, she's solid about that. You know, and then they start in on me. It's just the thousands of people. I hadn't really battled these people just before we got on. It's funny, Q's dropping live, and all these guys, this anti-Q thing, which has thousands of people, they got nothing better to do than try to disprove Q all day. I said, go ahead. We're not trying to prove it to anybody.
Well, let's raise above the fray. Let's get above all the BS and all the things that they're trying to. Now, there, you know, there probably are psyops involved in discrediting them, and there probably are other people on all sides trying to do things to screw people up. Obviously, you're the legit person trying to figure it out and get information out there. There's legit, sincere people trying to understand. Now, what do you think is the point of the Q? And we're going to get into what he's been dropping this week as well, because I want you to talk about some of this new stuff. But what do you think, you know, up to about this week, what do you think the whole point of this is?
I think it's twofold, Sarah. And the first thing is basically informational, and it's to get around the mainstream media, which we know has been putting out bad information. And President Trump, the powers to be, we call them white hats, the allegiance, whatever, Army of Northern Virginia, it's all different names. But the good guys up there that are trying to take back our country for the right reasons, decided that they had to get out correct information. I mean, not only to have information, but to assure people something's been done behind the scenes. There's a big thing that says that if there's truth to the media trying to control the narrative, the same people that are behind the media also are sponsoring the alt media to control the counter narrative. So you have to understand we're in the middle of these two factions, and we're trying to survive and trying to do that. And I think this was all part of to break that narrative, because there was not one side to let this information out. The second thing is, I think it's to reinstill faith with a lot of people that there's hope in our government, that there's some good people, because I tell you, there's a lot of people prior to 16 that didn't have faith in this government. And there's a lot of people now that feel that there's nothing being done, and in the future you can't trust these people. There'll be no accountability. There's no single tier justice system. We're still living under the king and queen of England, that they get an exemption, and all the peasants are the ones held accountable. You know, I tell people we left England and established the United States to have a single rule of law, and the royals and the ruling class are not exempt from laws. And I think that's a big part of it.
Well, and that's what makes everybody so angry, especially with all this pedophile stuff coming out and the blackmail and Epstein. And Epstein's just a tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of Epsteins out there, which is sad. So what's the second part?
Well, I think it's just doing a renewal of our country, this Make America Great, this Keep America Great, that really has a lot of the public and a lot of the voting people on board with this. I think it's to get the... I don't want to call us the rebels, but this is to get the people that have been hanging out in alt media, that have been questioning the narrative for a long time, on the same page. I mean, if you take a look at it, I mean, President Trump has gone and recruited all the hackers on the internet, all the people that maybe are the bad kids on the block, you know, and has made them part of their army of digital soldiers. I mean, so there's a lot to that a lot of people feel that we've been ignored. We've had tinfoil hats put on our heads. I've been on this JFK battle my whole life, and we're just now being vindicated. I try to remind people, I mean, we just didn't have to wait one 25-year cycle. I've lived through two 25-year cycles of waiting for information to be dumped out from our government. I mean, everybody I know that I started this are all dead. You know what I mean? I was a youngster in this crowd. You know, so there's a lot of people just expecting truth to be told finally.
So who do you think is behind it? Now that you've been watching this for a long time, who is you obviously Trump is involved somehow if he's in front of the white rabbit saying tippy top. So who's really behind it?
Who's behind what, the Q movement?
Who's behind the Q drops?
Well, I think Joe M, let's like you said, let's step back another level here, Sarah. I think Joe M has it right, and that's why it's the first chapter of our joint introduction book to QAnon and the Great Awakening, is because there was a plan. In this plan, Donald Trump was recruited. So you have to understand, a lot of us feel this did not start in 2015 or 2016 with the elevator, that this plan to take back this country started before that, and there's even things in place after 2024, that this is all part of a whole program to And to make it simple, we call it the Great Awakening, because there's a lot of aspects besides political corruption ending, needless wars ending. There's going to be truth about pharma. There's going to be truth about space. There's going to be truth about health and medicine. A lot of this is going to be coming to light, and this is what we're terming the Great Awakening.
Okay, so it's broad, and Trump is one of the soldiers in this army. So what is happening this week? Everybody's excited. Q's back. What is he dropping, or she, or the group dropping at this point, at this week? What happened? I know there's one going on right as we speak, but what has gone, we can maybe get into that, but what has gone on this week? Or, and last week, you know, over the last 7 days.
Well, the last 3 months, the main communication place, the 8chan board, open platform, has been taken down, has been voluntarily kept down, and that's the only place Q's communicated with us as of late. And, of course, that had to be back up to start the communication flow. And so that the board has just come back up. I think it's all timely with two things. One, today, the impeachment hearing started. I just heard Devin Nunes opening comments, and they were rather, good and startling, too, for the public that is not doesn't believe there's a coup against our president. Devin laid that out real nicely today. But there's also the pending OIG report that's really going to set off a lot of the criminal referrals and a lot of the justice part of this whole aspect, Sarah.
And so it's timed with that. Now, is there any drops that he's made, or she, or the group's made, that refer to that? I mean, what are the drops saying at this point?
Well, the one late last night I thought was rather telling, because it said indictments coming, and there was a little box 2019, because a lot of people, again, this is, as you said, this has been a couple year process. For people that are talking, I was just talking about 2 25-year stints with JFK information. So, obviously nerves are frayed as far as getting this information out as soon as possible. But I think that's the we're going to expect the D class. We're going to expect the FISA report from Horowitz. And I think we're going to expect criminal referrals. And then Barr and Horowitz and Hoover are going to act on those referrals coming out of Horowitz's report. This, apparently, according to Sarah Carter, is going to be done before Thanksgiving. And we'll have indictments.
What is the... Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll have indictments year. Reports and so forth, paperwork by Thanksgiving, action by Christmas.
And that's what Q was saying.
Well, Q's saying we're having indictments by 2019. You just don't snap and have an indictment. These other processes have to kind of take place, and we've got a month, about 6 weeks, to have it all happen.
Well, it couldn't be soon enough for me. I mean, based on, as you know, too, based on what we know, these indictments are, if we don't have indictments, I think our country's done, being honest. I think that the hope will be, I don't know. I don't even know what to say yet on that, if there's no indictments. It would be so sad. So that will be great.
Yeah, I agree 100%, but I think on the bright spot is that so much has been said, so much has been leveled
exposed,
to this
yes.
point that, there will be,
I agree.
I don't see any outcome where there's not, And
people will not back down now. People are not backing down. There's too many people that are waking up, as you say, the Great Awakening. Now, what does Q say today? What does the drop say today?
Oh, today it was talking about, and this is great because my next post, and again, people will say, what you've been doing? I've been fooling around with these books. I mean, the book we worked on, and plus my new book that just came out. And so I've not really had any new stories. Not that Cyril Brain or other people have been on me, but everybody's been asking, when am I going to get back to my writing? Because I've been doing the books and the interviews and everything. So I've just started doing my new post, but the one that's upcoming, and it's, I'm actually working on it, refers to the latest post, and it's so great because every once in a while Q does this and kind of helps you out, because I've got a lot of material to put in there. Is it talks about what's the common things between Kerry's son and Hunter Biden's son, and it goes, hint the Ukraine. And so it's just focusing in that there's some people that have some exposure maybe, and there's reports and information forthcoming. And what's going to happen, Sarah, people are going to be able to talk themselves out of this. No, Joe Biden cannot talk himself out of that video that everybody has seen. So that's done. Nobody can put words into Donald Trump and his phone call to the Ukrainian president. That it's written in black and white. Everybody
exactly.
can read that. So, I mean, we're getting to the point where the media's at. We're all out. People are going to see everything in black and white. And I think, you know, I think our side in history is nothing to be afraid of.
I would agree with you. It'll be the indictments. That'll be a Christmas present for me and for the whole country and the world, frankly, if there's some indictments coming on with some of these criminals. And it needs to be sweeping and broad eventually, right?
This is going to be a statement. I mean, every once in a while, for folks that kind of remember Watergate, and again, you know, the same people that are here. I mean, I was cheering to get rid of President Nixon. Trust me, you know what I'm saying. And I'm cheering for President Trump. And I consider John F. Kennedy my favorite president. And I worked in 92. I was chairperson for Perot for half of Pennsylvania. So I go with the who I think is the best person, not so much by. It's probably why I'm an independent, that, I don't follow party ideologic inklings, but. I think that that history is going to show that President Trump's one of these figures that have put down a flag, made a stance there, and things will be done. You know, that history will look back and there was a lot of changes made. You know, there was a lot of things cleaned up after the Nixon debacle. And, I think a lot of things will come out of this, too.
Well, Nixon is nothing compared to this.
That was
nothing. I mean, every day it's like we get a drop that's worse than Nixon. I mean, it's just Nixon looks like a choir boy. Okay, well, let's talk about your book.
Because
you have a book you have it right behind you, right? Will you show us on?
It's called Swamp. It's White Hats, Swamp Creatures, and QAnon, A Who's Who of Spygate. And I've been terming it on my public interviews as being like an encyclopedia, a Spygate encyclopedia, because it has all the main characters in there. But for all of us that, that are kind of in the movement, we just call it a digger's handbook, because it's a good little reference tool to pick out names that come up. Just yesterday, a name came up, and I was really leery about putting this guy in there because he has some quasi ties in all this. And I'll just give you one example of one story that's in there and how this everything is tied in because of the spider web, Sarah, is a guy named Strobe Talbot. Now, a lot of people may remember Strobe. He coined the nickname Friends of Bill. So if you remember back in the Clinton era, you had to be FOB, Friends of Bill. Bill, he's the guy that nicknamed that. He was Bill Clinton's roommate in college in Oxford. He worked with, obviously, with President Clinton in his administration. He was tasked in the State Department. But where he comes into play is with all the shenanigans with the State Department and the dossier, the Hillary Clinton dossier that was run through the State Department. And this was all done with Victoria Nuland and Jonathan Weiner. And the two Clinton hacks, Sidney Blumenthal and a guy named Cody Shear. They're the ones, actually, these guys are credited to having a couple of the memos that are in the famed Steele dossier. The dossier is like 25 memos. A couple of these memos are from these people, and it was run through the State Department. It had nothing to do with Christopher Steele. I mean, this is without question. This is documented fact. But what I'm trying to point to is that this Strobe Talbot, He was the liaison to help this all out because he's Cody Shear's brother-in-law, and Victoria Nuland used to work for him when he was the top dog at the State Department under Bill Clinton. So a lot of these guys back from the 90s, these older people, they're the controlling agents. You want to know who the puppet string masters are? These are the kind of people that are behind the scenes. Talbot was in charge of Brookings Institute for decades. These are the kind of George Soros, the Koch brothers. Yeah, these are the people, movers and shakers behind the scenes. But I have Talbot in there, but his name just recently came up in the mainstream news yesterday, and it hasn't been there really for over a year. But it talked about these connections because they're good. Of Nunes, as he mentioned, Nunes mentioned it today about the stuff that came through the State Department. So that's going to become center stage right now.
Yeah, the corruption is unbelievable through all these different weaves through so many different government agencies. And I don't know if people are ready to, I think, you know what? I think they are ready to handle it. I think with everything that's been going on, they're past ready to get this going now. What else did you learn that was kind of blew you away through this whole movement that actually you're appreciative of?
Well, the thing that I'm finding out, and it was mentioned on a post yesterday, because it mentioned one of the areas I really haven't highlighted on, because it's hard to predict, and it gets into the David Wilcox area. But there was a thing called Project Looking Glass. This was in one of the drops the other day, and it was just casually mentioned. But the Q sometimes does this. They'll just casually put in a phrase or whatever, and a lot of people, I'm sure, just skimmed right over. They had no idea. Looking Glass, whatever, you know, the project is just, you know, went right by them. But see, I've been on this Project Looking Glass for a long time. A couple big movies have come of this. If people remember a movie called Paycheck with Ben Affleck and Uma Thurman, it was a big, you know, blockbuster movie. But it was based on some of this AI technology, glimpses into the future, and certainly Contact, the Jodie Foster movie Contact, had some of the same type of things. But this Project Looking Glass, there's been a whistleblower that says that there is actually this alien technology out in a place called S4, which is part of Area 51, and that they've been working on this thing, and that this some of this technology is being used in this plan. this is, and I'm telling you, if you talk to these guys like T.N. Homesteader or some of these people doing the numbers and the codes and zero deltas, the serial brain that takes things to third, fourth, way beyond me, you know what I mean? I just go with the political corruption, but they're finding different levels, like the Bible code, Sarah. They're finding different messages within all these drops you know, it takes thousands of people to figure it out. So we're maybe working with some AI technologies, what I'm getting at. This is probably the biggest thing to me is the way they're, what's involved with this information.
Now, in your book, do you help people make sense of what these drops are?
My book, the Spygate book, is more of a thing just telling about what's coming up here with the political corruption. Kind of our first book, The Invitation to the Great Awakening, that was more of an introduction and describing the nature. But right now, I'm just kind of putting this out because there's all these names that are coming out. We're talking about Eric Ciamella. We're talking about Alexandria Chalupa today. Chalupa, all these people, they're all related. They may be involved in Ukraine crimes, but a lot of these people also were involved in the Spygate. They were involved in the setting up of President Trump. So that's why these people, they've been involved in many crimes. I mean, you look back when they say, I did a story about, you may recall seeing this movie on FX. It was a TV series called The Americans, about the families that were real Russian spies. It was a mother and a father, and the kids were real biological kids, and they were all trained spies. I mean, this was... They did a movie, a TV series about this, but I can assure you, anybody can look up on the internet, this is a real thing that happened with the FBI, called Project Ghost Stories. And Mueller is the person that broke this up. Mueller is the person that broke up these real spies living in this country. And the ironic thing is that the Russian handlers for these spies were in fact the same handler that was handling, and the fellows admitted to this, Mr. Campbell, the Uranium One. Bribery.
Well, you know, that's great. Okay, it's not great,
Mueller's
but go ahead.
That broke this thing up back then was Peter Strozek. was back in 06. I'm telling you, these people have been together for decades. Young Peter Strozek is a guy with Mueller that broke up this spy ring that was trying to infiltrate Hillary Clinton back before she was running. I mean, this stuff has been going on, and it's all related, and I kind of show all the parallels in this book. What this book does is it takes you step to step. It shows you the connections. It shows you Strozek was working, protecting Hillary Clinton back in 06. He's not a Johnny-come-lately. So was Mueller.
If you're gonna be a criminal, you're not gonna do it once. Usually, you tend to be a serial criminal. It's a lifestyle, right? Okay.
Acid criminals, because these people were finding out do all this stuff in the daytime, and they go home and they kick their dog, and they're tough on their kids, and they beat up their wives. These people have no bounds to their criminality. I don't want to get into it, but you know what I'm saying? Is that
I do know. I did my. My paragraph or my little chapter, I really wanted to get that information out. That was with Jim Rothstein, you know, Jimmy Boots, about blackmail and about how the corruption. Epstein is a perfect example of what my chapter was about.
Everybody loved that Jimmy thing. It was so, it, and it was, and it's becoming, the thing is, I mean, that book is becoming more pertinent as time goes on. Future proves fast.
Yeah, that is true. That's really great. Okay, so where can they get your book?
Oh, both books, our book, our joint book, and the new Spygate book, they're both by Relentless Creative Publishing, and they're on Amazon right now, and all you'd have to do is go to Amazon, you put in Q book, and they all come up, because we've got Qs in the titles, so that's the best place to get it. We really don't have it. I know Dustin's got some books that he's bought, and he's got me and Linda Paris to do some signings and that, and he's doing a little promotion at his site, which is, I was glad to help him out with that, but mostly everything's going through Amazon for now. We don't like it, but that's the beast we have to work with. You know, at some point, I know Neon Revolt with his new book was experiencing all kind of trouble with the Amazon as well, so, you know, sometimes we have to battle the beast, but that's the best place to get both the print version and the ebook version of the Spygate in our book.
Now, it has reached number one in what, 10 different categories? And yours
well,
have reached.
Our Great Awakening
yep.
book, being out for 7 months, has come back up. And it was really kind of a resurgence. I, you know, having a second Q book come out and doing the promotions with the new Spygate book brought that back into attention. And plus, really, I have to say, too, your reporting on Monica's condition and so forth brought a lot of people's attention that there was a Q book. There's a lot of new people. I mean, we did these books because they don't remember Cerebral Brain's first post or some of my old posts from Reddit that's been long canceled. I mean, we did that almost as a historical book, but that's coming into play right now too, Sarah.
Yeah, that post was explosive. I mean, that got a lot of attention, and you know, we still don't know what really happened there. For people that don't know, the publisher's husband, I mean, they were co-publishers, he died. They were both poisoned or had some kind of toxin in Mexico, and she made it through and he died because he wasn't as, his immunities weren't as strong. He ended up dying from this toxin that they got, and they don't know what that was.
Well,
it was a she said it was a particularly strong toxin, or and they don't know what it was from.
Oh yeah, because what the problem was, when they first came in, they treated it as routine food poisoning, and right now, after the fact that they never got better and it got worse, they went back to find the labs and they can't really find it. It was Mexico City, and you know, what the, nothing that they could use concrete, and right now there's nothing. But I can assure you, he was 20. Philippe was 20 years younger, and Monica, he was young and in good shape. I don't want to paint this Monica's, you know, she's in her golden years. She used to be a writer, and now she's publishing books. But, you know, Philippe was healthy, young Mexican national, and it really, you know, it was really a strange occurrence. But to answer your original question.
So he wasn't that, well, wait a minute. He wasn't that, his immunities weren't lower? Because one thing she did say is he wasn't as healthy right then, or did he have a cold, or there was something that was happening with him? Because you sound like he was.
They found out that he had some immune deficiencies, but I mean, to look at him and talk to him, to know him, he was not like a sickly kind of an individual.
Exactly.
You know, my brother's on oxygen. My little brother, he goes around in an oxygen tank. Now, I kid him. I say, you look sickly. You know, Philippe was a healthy young Mexican man. He passed right when this book was published, and Monica, she really barreled through to get the ebook out while she was grieving. But I told her to take some time off, normal things that we'd be doing now. I said, just forget about it. She's her daughter's come down from Denver and is spending some time with her in Mexico, and I think she's coming back up the States for a little bit. But and then we're going to get back to, you know, promoting this book wholeheartedly, you know, maybe around the holidays.
Okay, well, that's a good timing for it, and people can get more information. And The Great Awakening is still available, and so
yes,
people can just get an idea of what is going on. And people are laughing at Q, and people are taking it seriously. It doesn't really matter. There's a lot of great information in there on the history of our country and the corruption of our country. So you can take it for what it's worth, but you're going to learn a lot regardless.
No
right?
doubt. I think if you just read General Flynn's speech, it's inspirational. And that's our second chapter. We have Joe M's as our first chapter in our Great Awakening. But General Flynn's speech is, it's just, it's almost like JFK, the one to the moon. You know, when some of these people, and I heard an Admiral Rogers speech not too long ago. I mean, we hear President Trump all the time, but some of these other people, these speeches are going to go down in history, Sarah.
Yeah, it's really great. Well, will you stick around for my Patreons?
I'll be happy to. My pleasure.